Okay, I think Project Timothy Youth, where are you? Let's have you, can you come sit here? Because I'm going to be calling you up one by one. So we had the youth lead us in worship, and I'm so excited for them to lead us in their story and their testimony about what God has been doing in their lives. For some of you that don't know, for some of you that are new here, we have been taking, at WCV, we've been taking our youth for 4 summers in a row to Project Timothy. And Project Timothy really is an environment that it creates community. And I forget to say that first because that's actually what they care about. It's what we all care about, right? It creates community. It creates an environment to encounter God, to be trained, equipped, released into meaningful ministry. When you look at Scripture, like, teenagers aren't overlooked, you know? And we look at the relationship with Paul and Timothy, and it was like, that was an important relationship. And so while these kids are this age, let's release them into meaningful ministry. I mean, this morning is meaningful ministry, and that's what happens at Project Timothy. I was saying to somebody who was asking me, why do you keep doing that every year? Why do you keep taking the kids to Philadelphia? And I was like, well, you know what? Throw kids in a room full of 100 leaders, and guess what they become? They become leaders, right? So we come here and we focus on mercy and justice, and we become a church that loves mercy and justice. And we're going to hear some of that with our kids this morning. So I love John Maxwell's quote. He has a lot of really great quotes about leadership. And do you guys know John Maxwell? Who's laughing about that? Michaela? Oh, Nathan. So John Maxwell says, and Mike's going to help me with PowerPoint, is that most natural leaders don't actually say, hey, I want to be a great leader. But they actually want to be a great person. And as they become great people, people want to follow them. They become great leaders. And so if we think of Mother Teresa, like, I'm sure she didn't aspire to, hey, I'm going to go and be a great leader. But she determined herself to find out what she was created for, who she created to be, and as a result, became a great leader, and many followed. So it's exciting to talk about leadership. Imagine that we could be the people that we're created to be, and others follow that. That's inviting, that's inspiring, and that's what we see in our youth. We see them being poured into, and as a result, reaching out. And I've seen that with each and every one of these youth this morning. So we're going to hear from all 7 of them. Where's Jason? Is Jason here? Jason and I took these 7 girls to Project Timothy this year, and so that was really a lot of fun. I would actually have a laugh at night when Jason would just be all cruising to his little host home by himself. And I was like, oh, Jason, can we trade places? No, just kidding. I actually loved it. We would be up to like 1 in the morning solving problems and like working through life's issues. But it was lots of fun. Okay, I'm going to start, Carolina. I want to come up. We had lots of points in Project Timothy. Lots of, like, every night there was a different theme. And so one of the themes was leaders are made for more. And Carolina, you want to come? Yeah, come have a seat. Come have a seat. Woo! We're just going to pretend we're at the Forks. I took them all to the Forks, and we had, like, fun coffee time twice. It was good times. Carolina, when you think of how that message impacted you and just that whole theme of leaders are made for more, how could you describe more of that?
What part do you want me to share? Oh, okay. So Jody asked me how, like, I would position my life for more. And I would have to say that actually Sarah helped me a lot with that. Because as sad as it sounds, I could have easily said, like, I don't want to go to PT last year because I was at a really low spot. And that was, like, sorry, that was really bad. So I decided, like, to take a risk, I guess, and just listen to Sarah and, like, let her kind of convince me. And then throughout the whole youth group, I kind of just, like, became really influenced and then ended up in Philadelphia. So,
wow.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
And what do you feel happened there in Philadelphia?
There was lots of vulnerability in place, and I feel like that's kind of essential in Christianity or, like, becoming closer with God, because, like, if you put up this wall, like, it's going to become harder for both sides, but, like, God has a plan, so, but, yeah.
Well, and Carolina, when I thought of you, like, for each youth, I prayed about the verses in Timothy and kind of went, what's for Carolina with leaders are made for more? And when we read Timothy, 1 Timothy 4:12, do you want to read this, Carolina, right here?
Don't let anyone put you down because you're young. Teach believers with your life, by word, by demeanor, by love, by faith, by integrity.
Yeah. Preach it, girl. So the thing, Carolina, you're saying is that Sarah really encouraged you. Sarah and Carolina, it's really a beautiful story. They met at school, and one day Carolina was at my house, and the next day Sarah's convincing her to go to Project Timothy. And so it's been sort of this, not quite that fast. I'm fast forwarding a little bit, but that's how we got to know Carolina. But I've seen you, Carolina, as you're positioning your life for more because you're open for more. And the scripture that came to me was 1 Timothy 4:12, and that whole concept of find a Paul in your life. You know, I don't know if Timothy, maybe Nathan or Mike, you know, like, did Timothy set out to meet Paul? I don't know how that encounter happened, but chase after the Pauls. Like, I remember at Carolina's stage, and even at my stage now, like, always looking for who's living their life, and I want to be like that. What are they doing in their daily life? And there's something that you did, you know, you're in Sarah's relationship, but I see you, Carolina, as you're not just staying there. Like, I see you reaching out constantly to other people.
Actually, I feel like in PT, I actually was really close with Sarah, but then through the rest of, like, the PT group, I kind of, like, found a little piece of God, I guess. Wow. And then, like, they each helped me in different ways to, like, get closer, and that was really good, and vulnerability as well. But, awesome. Yeah, that was really cool.
It takes courage to position your life for more. So thanks, Carolina. We're going to have Sierra come up. Sierra, the phrase that I got as Sierra shared her life and shared what had happened at Project Timothy, what God's doing in your life, is leaders don't stay stuck. Hey?
Yeah.
You want to tell us a bit about that?
Well, basically, like, that stuck out to me because I've struggled with, like, depression and anxiety before, and it's so easy to just stay stuck and just, like, stay in your bubble because, like, your pride gets the best of you and you don't want to ask for help, but it's so much easier when you do ask for help from, like, God. So I think that's why that, like, stuck out to me.
So for you, what happened? How did you move past, like, how did depression and anxiety not paralyze you?
For a long time, when I was, like, throughout junior high, I guess, I had, like, lots of anxiety and lots of depression. And just, like, when I started coming to the Vineyard, I started going to the youth group first, and then there was, like, youth on Sunday mornings, and Jason, he was talking about, like, the love of God and how, like, amazing it is, and, like, I guess I just kind of shared with him how, like, I have anxiety, and it just, like, really sucks, and he was just telling me, like, once you, like, feel the love of God, it's going to, like, change you, it's going to be so amazing, so, and then... and so after that, on Monday, I was just like, oh my gosh, I need to get prayer for my anxiety. Like, I just need to. And so then I told Amelia about it, and she was like, yeah, on Sunday, like, I'll totally pray for you. And, like, and I just, like, felt like I needed more from God. Like, I needed a bigger sign. So then, throughout the week, on, like, Thursday or something, there was, this performance called Take Note, and it's basically where all the schools go. And it's just, like, you perform, dance, you sing, And so then at the end of the concert, there was, like, this dance about anxiety and, like, depression. And there was one person that was, like, that was struggling, and all the other people were, like, trying to get him down. And by the end of the dance, everyone, like, was wearing, because during the dance, everyone was wearing black. And then by the end, everyone was wearing white. And he was, like, he, like, defeated anxiety and depression, and, like, that was the sign from God. And so then on Sunday, I got prayer from, like, most of the youth, and then I just, like, didn't really have anxiety, because when you have anxiety, you wake up with lots of, like, doubt and, like, how everything could go wrong, and I just, like, didn't have that, and throughout the whole week, I didn't have that, and, like, I feel like I'm just more open to things, and I don't worry like that anymore.
Thank you, Sierra. And the verses, I got two verses for Sierra. 1 Timothy 4:1, the Spirit makes it clear that as time goes on, some are going to give up on the faith. But we've seen you, Sierra, you're not getting stuck. I mean, it's hard, and you've persevered. The other verse I got for you is, all those prayers are coming together now, so you will do this well, fearless in your struggle. keeping a firm grip on your faith and on yourself. After all, this is a fight we're in, and it's a fight. And as adults, it's hard to conquer, overcome these things, but you're in this, and you're doing it. And okay, thanks, Sierra. Maya. Okay, for Maya didn't really want to share this first part, but I'm just going to, can I just introduce this first part and then you'll share? So for Maya, we're going to put leaders serve, and they're open to express the gifts that God has for them. And for the leaders serve, for those of you that know Maya, you will know eventually after 5-10 minutes with Maya that she is a servant. She really is. And we saw this in Project Timothy. And so as Maya was describing the story, I was like, hold on, can you share that at Project Timothy, at WCV? And you were kind of hesitant, but you agreed. So could you share a little bit about how you chose, like you choose certain tracks at Project Timothy, whether you want to be in the preaching track or the worship track, and tell us what happened for you.
Yeah, so I chose the worship track because I love worshiping and it's always so fun. And when I got there, we split into the groups, and then there were too many singers, so they were like, oh yeah, you can just go to projection. And they kind of had like a group of friends who were all like, we're in this group and you all, the rest of you can go over there. So we're like, okay, fine.
We love projection, but Maya got a bit demoted there.
Yeah, I was a bit upset, and I was like, Dad, what do I do? And he's like, well, it could be a fun thing. And I'm like, okay, maybe. And so when I started doing projection, I got like so much like praise from it because, you know, projection is just like so great. And I got like a lot of praise from it. And everybody's like, wow, you're so good at this. You like, wow, I thank you so much for doing this. And I was like, oh, this could be a fun thing. Don't know.
And so it ended up working out. It ended up being, you felt like you were tying the service together, hey?
Oh, yeah, I felt like God put that in place, like, just for me. And I was like, wow, this is working out.
So if Maya has time, she might help Mike after she's done sharing, because we're having some flips. Maya, you were open to prayer. Can you share a little bit about what happened?
Oh, yes. So there was this... So when I don't like praying very much out loud, and I've always wanted the gift of tongues, but it doesn't really work that way. If you don't like praying, tongues just doesn't work. So I got prayer for that on like the last few nights, and I just started speaking in tongues. It was like, whoa. Like I didn't even know this is possible. Like a wall just dropped, and I just started speaking in tongues.
That's awesome. So just that openness. Thanks so much, Maya. And the scripture I had for you, Maya, is 1 Timothy 2:1. The first thing I want you to do is pray. Pray every way you know how for everyone you know. And I just see that in you. So we just pray that over you. Thank you, Maya. Sarah.
Maya comes to my house and she'll like clean up my dishes until they're all done and then like dry them and stuff. She's my mom loves her, so.
I was going to say more about Maya in that way, but I wasn't sure where that would end because, yeah, the first time I had Maya at my house, she was suddenly like, where's your vacuum? Where's your... Anyways, that's Maya.
Hello,
so,
Maya.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sarah. Okay, Sarah, for Sarah, do we have this? Oh, might not be. We'll be the PowerPoint. Leaders encourage. And Sarah, we came a couple days later because you were involved in something else. And we landed during the meeting that John Elmer, he's the senior pastor of Syracuse Vineyard. You kind of get to know all these Eastern Coast vineyards. It's really fun. Yeah. Anyways, he talked about encouragement. It was a very powerful message. Sarah, tell us a bit about this.
All right, so I guess when I came that night, some of the things that John Elmer was saying was like, actually, the one thing he said that really struck me is everyone in your life is desperate for encouragement. And I had never realized that before because for me, I thought I was the only one who like wasn't fine and was always like sort of needing things from people, like, because everyone else just seems like they're doing okay, that they don't need anyone, you know? And I guess, like, it struck me that everyone needs encouragement as much as I need encouragement. Because he also said, like, life grounds you down. So you might be fine one day, but, like, the next week, it's not always the same. What else was I going to say?
You were going to talk, Sarah, about the fear that could prevent you from...
Yeah. All right. So I guess I'm a person that, like, really cares a lot about people. Like, I just like them a lot. I don't know. Whatever. I always have this fear of, like, being rejected. So I'll, like, want to do nice things for people, but then be like, if they see I care, they won't want me. If they see that, if they see that I'm attached to them, they'll want to reject me because they don't want someone clinging on. And I think that people aren't like that as much as I think that they are. Like, people want to be encouraged. People don't think it's weird. And if they do, they still appreciate it. Yeah. They get over it, you know?
Well, I think even the desperation, like when the speaker said, you know, people are desperate for encouragement, and then he actually had us imagine, well, I remember that anyway, maybe I went right to imagination because that's sort of what I'm in, but I imagined life like that. What if we were people that encouraged? What if we were? What if we said things that we assumed the person knew? Yeah. You know, that really is a life-changing skill and practice. Sarah?
Sorry. There's like a lot, like, what you're saying, if you think people know them, but also, like, there's a lot of positive things that you think of about people on a daily basis that you just don't say. But, like, why not? Why don't you say those things?
Awesome, Sarah. And we see that in, Sarah, we see that with Paul. Like, let's look at how he encourages Timothy. Like, it's not just the sort of light, hey, you're doing a good job, keep going, love Paul. You know, what does he say, 2 Timothy 1, 3 and 4?
Okay, every time I say your name in prayer, which is practically all the time, I thank God for you. I miss you a lot, especially when I remember that last tearful goodbye. I look forward to a joy-packed reunion.
And then verse 5.
Oh, verse 5. That precious memory triggers another, your honest faith, and what a rich faith it is.
So that depth of encouragement, you know, is that they obviously had the relationship, but just that we would feel that vulnerability and that freedom to step out.
So, you want me to talk about the blessings?
Yeah.
Okay, so at Project Timothy, we do this thing where you're supposed to write blessings. They're sort of like encouragements for everyone in your year. No one actually does that, but they do write blessings for people that have touched them throughout Project Timothy. And I've kept all of the blessings I've gotten for 3 years. So, like, encouragement is important to people, you know? And also, like, the 2 Timothy verse 1:3-4 is actually a verse that me and my mom both found separately. And when I read it, I was like, this is Project Timothy. This was our last goodbye. It felt like this. It was sad and, like, but, like, I pray for them a lot because, I don't know. Yeah. Anyway.
Well, and I think it's a beautiful thing. I remember the last night we got in the van and Jason and I were like, woohoo, we're going to the hotel. This means we're going home soon. And the youth were all kind of like, you guys like these heartless leaders? Like, what? And I remember Jason and I were trying to explain, well, it's a little different. Like, we're excited to see our spouses, you know, and our kids, right? And but the depth, like, it just brought me back to that childlike, like, the youthful depth of relationship and how you guys, it's such a beautiful gift. And it kind of shows us again as adults that we need that. We need what you have. And we really want that. Sarah, you were just going to mention your last point was how the culture of youth group sort of shifted when Sierra came.
Yes, Sierra. So, okay, Sierra joined our group at some point this year, and probably January, it doesn't matter. She joined, okay? She's in now. Anyways, so when she joined, I noticed something about her. And that's that she is so willing to just, like, love on people and encourage them. She'll just be like, I like this about you and I love you so much. And that, like, spread in our youth group. Now we constantly encourage each other. We're not afraid to say, I love you. Like, I don't know what, I feel like our culture, or at least specific people, sometimes have a problem with telling their friends that they love them. But it's awesome. Do it. Anyways.
Great. Love you, Sarah. Thank you. Okay. Rebecca and Sierra are sisters, and Rebecca came into our youth group even later than Rebecca, than Sierra. Yeah. You kind of joined in the late spring, I think, hey?
March?
I don't know.
So the phrase that came to me for Rebecca, and you'll hear this and resonate with what she's going to say, is leaders don't give up. And Becca, we have seen that in your life. Becca had the courage to she joined the teaching track at Project Timothy, and so she actually did a message. It was amazing, and I videotaped the entire thing and sent it to Lainey, her mom. It was really powerful, and Becca, you've got really so much for us to learn about how not to give up. Can you share, obviously not what you did that day, because that would be too long, but could you share with us some of your story about how you haven't given up?
Yeah, for sure. At a young age, I was diagnosed with ADHD and dyslexia kind of thing, and, like, I couldn't speak, I couldn't read. I was always, like, behind in my grade. So that took a big toll on my life. Like, I was bullied from it, and, like, people made fun of me all the time, no matter what. I always knew that I was different, but I didn't know how because I was too young. But I'm thinking. Yeah, and I grew up in a Christian home, and I always thought God was always good. And I was like, Jesus, why are you giving me this? I always thought as like it was a bad thing in my life that He put upon the situation that I have to live with for all my life. And the other obstacle is like my family's financial problems. We weren't always the richest all the time. Like it, especially when I went into junior high, like grade 8, grade 9, and the rest of high school until grade 12, we were in between homes, you like to call it. Right, Mom? Yeah. In between homes. So we got kicked out of a house, and we couldn't afford a house, so we had to live in a hotel, and our grandma paid for it a long time. And I was frustrated. I had horrible, horrible anger and hurt, because I always thought God was supposed to be, like, this good person that grants you this amazing thing that, like, He's supposed to give you. And I prayed, and I was like, and I didn't, and, like, He didn't answer, and I was just really mad at Him. So for a while, I didn't go to church, and I was just like, whatever. But in my heart, like, I still, like, tried my hardest because I always had, like, this little hope that something will turn out. I just won't know it right now. And, like, by the time of grade 11, I think late grade 11, like, going on to grade 12, I realized, that things were going better. We have a house and everything, but still it was still financially unstable. But like, I know I figured out that that Jesus gave me this for a good reason, that He allowed me to go through these tough obstacles in life, because there was a scholarship at the school. It's for adversity. So like, obstacles you went through and that you persevered and you made it through, and academic efforts, and I was like, oh, I should do it because I meet the criteria and like athletes. So I wrote like what I just told you on like an essay and everything, and I was a final five, so I got an interview and everything, and I end up receiving the scholarship, and it pays for my whole degree actually in university. So I realized that like PT, that God allowed me to like, do you have water? Oh. I can't. No, I just can't drink from a cup. I mostly through the year, but especially at PT, that I should actually, instead of like putting down him, I should like thank him and tell and share my story about what happened, because I think it's a cool story, personally. Maybe it's mine, but but I think it's just amazing, and I should really embrace everything. I feel like it's always good to come out of the badness, like, and he always has a plan. He always knows what he's doing. Like, that's been the toughest thing ever. But, like, he always knows. Yeah. And that it will be good. Yeah. And don't give up. Yeah. That's all I have to say.
Wow. Rebecca, woo!
And the scripture I have for you, Rebecca, is 1 Timothy 4:11-14. And this is what we've seen at in Rebecca's life. Stay at your reading scripture, giving counsel, teaching, and that special gift of ministry you were given when the leaders of the church laid hands on you and prayed. Keep that dusted off and in use. And I saw Becca in action at PT, just in the prayer times, really praying for other people that had similar struggles and just going for it in prayer. And a couple times I joined you, and yeah, it was just so beautiful to see. So thank you, Becca. Woo-hoo! Ava. We have such a loving group. I love the cheers. Ava, leaders know their priorities. And I am so touched by and inspired by when you talk about, you know, could we do this in youth? Could we, like, get more into the Word? Or could we, you know, Ava is just always sort of inspiring us to the next level. And for you, Ava, how could you share about your priorities? What does that mean for you to know your priorities?
For me, spending time like with God has been really important in my life, and just has really prioritized like getting connected with Him and engaging with Him. And that looks like just taking like half an hour from a day and just like just praising Him and just asking Him what He has for me. And yeah.
And we see that in your life. Like we see that. That's a spillover, right? Like when you're spending that time to get your well filled, hey, it just spills out. Do you notice a difference in your life?
Yeah, like when I spend more time with God, I just notice that my mindset has totally changed, and just when He aligns my heart with His, it just just like makes me notice the things that He's doing in my life, and yeah, just He shapes me and forms me into a person that's more like Him.
So Ava, this was your second year, right, at PT? And what do you feel like, either in the first year or second year, was that like where you first started going, hey, I got to have, like they call it at Project Timothy, me and Jesus time. And they really, actually it's scheduled in your day, which I think is beautiful. You know, you're not just at this full on conference. It's no, you're going to get a quiet place and pray for a while. Was that sort of where you were inspired or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Anything else you want to share? Okay, thank you, Ava. And Ava, the scripture I have for you is 2 Timothy 3:15-17. There's nothing like the written word of God for showing you the way to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Every part of scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live God's way. Through the word, we're put together and shaped for the task that God has for us. And yeah, just see that in your life, and we pray that over you. Thanks, Ava. Okay, Lily. Woohoo! Lily, for you, leaders, the phrase that we have is leaders don't run from conflict. And I love that, because actually I spent a lot of my life running from conflict. So when Lily started talking about this, I was like, right on. If I could have known that at your age, whew, I just, you know, it would have been a lot easier, but it's taken a while. So Lily, can you share with us what that looks like for you, or what happened at PT in this way?
Okay, so at PT this year, there was, for the first 3 days, I think, we were all in a house with no leader. And so it was just us in two rooms.
Sorry about that.
And I mean, whenever you spend a week with the same 9 people, you're gonna get in arguments and you're gonna get in fights with them, but to, like, you're not gonna let that ruin your friendships with them. And I've noticed that just within myself from seeing everybody after PT, I feel like all of our friendships have been strengthened so much, no matter what happened at PT, because everything that happened there wasn't a big thing. And it made us all closer friends, and it brought us all together even more than anything else could have.
That's awesome. And Lily, have you seen that sort of spill into your life, or how has that impacted, you know, life at school or life in other ways?
I just feel like it's like I've made an effort to hang out with, like, the people in my life who influenced me with God and, like, hang out with the youth group more than I would have before PT.
And that's so courageous. Like, I have seen Lily in action, and I shared a room with these girls, so there was actually 8 of us. Jason, I'm not mad. There was 8 of us in 2 rooms. And so, like, we would work through stuff, right? Like, that's just what happens with teenagers, and they love to do that late at night. So I was like, woohoo, I got this, no problem. But that was a lot of fun, and I've seen Lily do that and persevere, and you weren't, you know, when things weren't well, you know, you said things aren't well. Let's push through and work through some of the conflict, just the interpersonal stuff that would go on. So that is courageous, and I love that. And the scripture, Lily, that I have for you is 2 Timothy 2:24. God's servant must not be argumentative, but a gentle listener and a teacher who keeps her cool, working firmly but patiently with people. And that's you, Lily. Yeah.
I just feel like when I was at PT and I felt like I couldn't necessarily go to the youth group to talk to if I was upset or something, I personally am not the kind of person that just goes out and talks to other people, but that was a big push for me to go and do that and make new friends, and now I have a bunch of friends all over the States. Not that I didn't already, but I have more.
Are any of those pictures working or no? Don't worry. Yeah, and that is really neat. Like, I have tried, you guys, to say, you know what? Like, there's actually cheaper options. We could actually drive to Duluth in Minnesota and take you to Project. They don't even hear it because they're like, okay, you're not getting something. Like, we are connected to 100 other people out there. There's no way you're changing that. We have friendships. We have deep connections. You know, it's like what Sarah was talking about, that those tear-packed reunions. And so I love that. And Lily, I saw that in you. I saw you just sort of like go beyond the youth group and just make beautiful connections. So thank you so much, Lily. Well, this is great, you guys. I think what we'll do now, we're just really excited about ministry time and having the youth pray for us. And I loved, Sherry, I'm not sure where you are, but what you said about, like, let's let these youth lead us. And I want that. I find my life has changed. Like, I actually go away going, I can't believe I get to spend so much time with these ones, because there's something so vulnerable and beautiful in their quest for God that I need. So I know I need to be around them. And I feel like they have something to offer us this morning, and they do. So why don't you, youth band, come on up. The youth band. And then the youth that aren't in the band, if you could join me up here. And anyone else that's on the prayer team or prayers, if you guys want to come to the front. We want to just posture ourselves to pray for others this morning. I feel like Becca and Sierra, what everyone had to share, like some of us might feel, you know, might relate to Becca and feel like, oh my goodness, I've got this going on in my life and I can't seem to jump over this hurdle. Let's pray for you this morning and be open to that. So do you guys want to lead us in a song, and then we'll... Oh, do you
have? Well, Jason is really...
Okay, so youth, do you want to come pray? Yeah. So we'll be up here, and I think what we'll do is if anyone has... Youth, if you have a prayer, like how we do it at Project Timothy, if there's something you have on your heart to pray for people... We can have little pockets of prayer. And we'll, Lord, we thank you so much for these youth, for these 7 girls who've shared their story. Oh, we never want to give up that childlike faith that we have inside. We want you, Father. And we want to experience you. We want to know you. So open our hearts this morning to all that you have.